Hello, everybody. And here we are with the second part of the Box of Delights,
which is the third,
which
and,
is
fourth
the third and fourth part.
So the third and fourth parts are the second part.
Yeah.
Right.
Jack.
The part in the second
part. We did all this before and it was funnier, but Jack wasn't recording it.
Yeah, it was good first time.
Anyway,
just
I'm
imagine
Chris.
It. Just imagine it.
I'm Big Boy Craig.
And I'm Jack.
And I'm chasing you.
And
into
I'm terrified.
Shadow Cabal TV Cream Box of the Lights. Here we go. Well, boom! Cheers!
By John Mason. Now, John Mason wrote a poem called Carlos.
Here we go. That's Alan Seymour.
Does
now,
he?
That's a name that rings a bell. Does it? But I can't think of what
it's
he's done.
Is it your Seymour Butts videos that you're thinking of?
It's not Seymour Butts.
Episode 3 in Darkest Cellars.
Can I just... why do they capitalise certain words in that way? Because I noticed...
This is the subtitles you're referring to.
No, no. The episode title. It said, in the Darkest Cellar, capital cellar.
Oh, no.
And in the first episode, they capitalise wolves.
Perhaps it's like that in the book, but
perhaps
being illiterate, we haven't gone and looked them.
Oh, it's just great, this stuff.
He's been a lot of Burnie Finger stuff there, old Robert, isn't he?
Yeah. It's just amazing, all this.
Don't you like what Kit's wearing? I like Kit's clothes, his wee suit and his wee chicken shirt.
Kay,
what he's wearing is nice.
Kit Williams, fucking mad eyes. He's down there with a wee golden hair.
He's nicely dressed.
Or did Kit and the Widow, could be.
I think this stuff is so iconic. And the shot from the ground up and so forth. And we mentioned before in the Five Doctors commentary, the sort of flat video look to it, which I find incredibly redolent. But I find it very redolent because of this.
Oh, interesting.
I know the Five Doctors was before this, but this is what sticks in the mind most of it. Now, here's the thing.
Yep.
When this was on, we mentioned before about the amount of trailing that was done for it and so forth. But did you watch it from the first episode?
Well, I did because of all the training.
Yeah, I think I had. I think I did, yeah.
But it felt like Christmas was very far away.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when you were... Well, when this went out, I would have been 9.
I would have been 13.
13.
So, 1986, was it?
No, 84.
84. No, so I would have been... How old would I have been then? I would have been 11.
I wasn't there.
It's 1984, something like that.
I would have been 11.
How old were you in Goose years?
You'd have been...
I'd have been 11. That's post-Big Boy.
So, the point is, at that age, even the age of 13... November is a lifetime away.
Absolutely.
From the third week in December.
Yeah. It is,
But I don't remember watching the first episode of it. I'm fairly sure I would have done, because you watched everything that was on the kids' programmes, children's programmes. But I vividly remember watching the second episode onwards, because I think that was one of the first Blue Peter things, after the first week.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then Blue Peter did some more stuff, because he did stuff all the way through
it.
Just, yeah, never stopped. Yeah. Did they still do that in Blue Peter? We need Steve Holmes.
Is it still a Blue Peter?
It's
on. Blue Peter's just on some digital channel, isn't it?
Yeah, but isn't it full of
Television X or something?
Yeah.
Welcome to Blue Peter. I'm Nina Hartley.
Here's
Ben. What's happening, Ben? What do you think?
Because I thought. It always used to be a particular treat when they did something on a film or television programme.
Yeah, it wasn't very often they would do that.
I remember...
Except for Box of Lights.
I vividly remember when they had the Aslan lion thing from Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe.
Yes.
That was a big thing that barely moved. Mm. And... no, absolutely. Or the line in All in the Family with Robert Gillespie.
Let's play again.
Yeah.
Call back. So, but one of the ones I remember the most was when The Dark Crystal came out and they had the Skeksis.
Oh, God, that was quite.
Did have the
that
Skeksis.
Freaked the fuck out.
Yeah,
me,
that
actually,
was because
yeah.
they are. There she is.
Patricia Quinn.
Sylvia Pouncer. Oh, she's so.
She's great.
Good, isn't this? Phenomenal.
I have to say, although I genuinely hate the Rocky Horror Picture
Show,
I always remember liking her in it. Mm. She was very good. She was also in. A few years before this, she was a bit of a sort of WB memory for me, because she was in Hammer House of Horrors playing the witch that gets her knocked.
Did you say WB memory?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
The Wank Bang. Because she gets her knocks out in the Hammer House of Horror when she plays a witch. the witching hour.
What did Robert Stephen see?
I've no idea. She did get the clothes off a lot, Patricia Quinn, didn't
Now,
so hang on, these two are married to each other.
They were,
yeah, they're married at this point.
Yes, you mentioned that.
She was magenta from
you mentioned that last week.
Yes, last week.
Yeah.
It was so long ago. And honestly, and you're so much better than last week's audience.
We're now on a nice frosty, clear
nice
night.
Nice frosty, clear night.
Glasgow
yeah,
in December. Absolutely. It's nice. It's a good night to be watching it.
Yeah, you forget it's December. Mm. It's just what happens when you get older.
Yeah, it does. It flips by.
Yeah, whereas when this was on, Christmas was just a whisper.
So long to get there.
It takes a while to get there.
Patricia Quinn, she was magenta.
She was, yeah.
Is she the one that was from Northern Ireland?
Yes.
She is from Northern Ireland, I beg your pardon. Because there's been a campaign to have a statue put up in her hometown. I'm not sure, I don't think she's from Belfast. I think she's from some small place. But there's been a fairly successful campaign.
Yeah,
I don't know if she's got a rum egg, actually.
I mean, she's still Lady Stevens because she was married to him at the time of his death.
But she is fantastic
in this.
She's
great, yeah.
When they try to bring Mariah over, and then she won't, they put her in the cell afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And when she says, we put them in the scrounger, and they have this thing in it, and he says, I turn them into dog bits, and she goes, ah!
Now, I love fantastic. All this stuff about it's the 1,000th anniversary of the cathedral and the choir. Now, you see, despite being Scottish and an atheist, I never brought up in any church, I quite like all that kind of Anglican business. I'm a big M.R. James fan. I like Anthony Trollope.
Mm-hmm.
I quite like things that are set in among sort of cathedrals and whatnot at Christmas time. You know,
well, they're very beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're just full of atmosphere. Places. Yeah. But what's particularly interesting about this, and again, I wonder if you would get away with it now, is it there's a lots of suggestion of pre-Christian.
Absolutely,
era, because it's the 1,000th anniversary of the cathedral, but they mention the wolves are running and so forth. It's all very pre-Christian,
very paganistic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's not pre-Christian 1,000 years ago.
No, but the suggestion in
it
is that it goes further back.
Yeah,
but it's pre-Christian. I suppose it's not a kick in the arse of pre-Christian Britain. That would have been within living memory, I suppose, a few hundred years or something.
Mm.
Anyway, it's just interesting that they even make any mention of it.
Yeah.
Now, what other children's BBC dramas did we watch?
We mentioned last week the sort of diminishing returns that they did, because they did this.
Yeah.
And I think this was so successful and so influential that it sort of set up a slot of a high-end children's serial running up to Christmas.
Yeah.
Hence, Lion, Witch and Wardrobe.
Which doesn't work in that case, because the winter setting, when they go through to what the fuck it's called again? What's it called?
Narnia.
Probably what they call it, the Chronicles of Narnia, isn't it? That's a bad thing in the books, that it's winter, and winter is...
But it's winter,
out of when
it's
they...
winter, but never Christmas.
Yeah.
And then Father Christmas appears.
Yeah.
And then they get rid of Christmas.
Yeah.
Then you move on. And then the bad thing
that
is that it's winter.
Like, yeah, I don't like
it doesn't
that.
Work.
It doesn't
I don't
work
like
at all.
It. I don't like it anyway. But then they stuck with that because then
I like
they started.
Shadowlands, though. It's good that.
Yeah, oh, no, Shadowlands is a great film. They start. It's not because it's anything to do with his writing.
No.
But it's because it's to do with his missus who couldn't be asked with anything.
No, absolutely. Huh?
So, but then they stuck with it. Quite lazy. They stuck with the sort of C.S. Lewis thing.
They did.
And they did the all those Dawn, really Voyager fucking Dawn,
also
and the magician's
Snow
chair
Queen,
and all
yeah,
that. No, I don't think so.
That box set with the
is it? I don't remember
with the Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, and this that I've got, and I don't have.
I don't remember the Snow Queen. I remember they then did a series called it was something like Merlin of the Crystal Cave or something, which sounded like it was going to be immense, and it was a sort of Arthurian thing, but it became like sort of Merlin. Just used to help because he was quite clever at building better scaffold and catapults and
my
things.
My brother used to be a scaffolder.
You
that would be. A,
fuck's
he's
sake,
not. A, he's not. A, he's not a magician, though.
No, not by any means.
Yeah.
And then more recently, there was the Magician's House.
Yeah, I mean, these were all the. Those were all the.
Well, I think if you look back to the ones that everyone that wants to go and buy from the excellent network DVD, I'm more than welcome to take any sponsorship.
Take any.
You if you look back at things like Children of the Stone, certainly, and I think The Changes, weren't they all ITV programmes?
They were.
Yeah, you see, I remember most...
They were
the,
better.
I remember the children's dramas that I watched the most being ITV ones.
And The Ghosts of Motley Hall, which I was a huge fan of.
And various productions of the Canterville Ghost.
Yeah.
And
so we remember Moondial?
Yes, I remember Moondial.
BBC that was? What about Children of the Queen? That was BBC.
Midnight is a Place?
No, I never watched Children of the Queen.
There's Catch Called Tolly.
And then there was The Phoenix and the Carpet, but by that time I had passed.
Well, there was an early, there's a 1970s version of Phoenix and the Carpet.
No, I'm thinking
featured
about
Gary Russell.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And I, that's
probably the animated Phoenix coming out of it.
I think so. That's one of my earliest memories of.
There was a BBC one later that had a sort of puppet animatronic kind of.
Yes,
Phoenix. I think it was David Suchet.
I've always wanted to live in a house like this.
David Suchet.
Yeah,
a house like this, or ones from the sort of Hammer films. Actually, it's actually more accurately, it's Peter Cushing's house in The Creeping Flesh is the house that I most want to live
in. Now, she, the maid, you may remember. I can't remember her name, but she was a staple.
Yeah,
of sitcoms in the '70s and early '80s.
Wasn't she in Brushstrokes? She was married. She was Carl Hyman's sister.
No. But she was. she was, however, the postwoman in the Christmas episode of Rising Damp, the heavily censored now Christmas episode of Rising Damp.
Why is it heavily censored?
Well, because Philip brings
back. Someone talk about Patrick Troughton.
No, it's because Philip brings back a present for Rigsby because he thinks he's going to be away, and it's a bottle of what they. Comically referred to as jungle juice. It's a sort of national wine. But when he goes, he says, "I've left it in your room." And when he goes down to his own room, it's the girl that he's brought back, thinking he was away, called Lucy, who's a black girl.
Uh-huh.
And he says, "It was one of six that I brought back from home." And he does the whole thing, you know, "Oh, you don't have to walk behind me 10 paces or anything like that. Look, water," and all this sort of thing.
Oh, I see.
So, but and even the version that they still show on Channel 4. Is like really, really, really badly edited.
Well, I've got that box set. I must go back and find that one.
She's in the Boxing Day Social episode of On the Buses.
Uh-huh.
Because she plays Arthur's sister, who tries it on with Stan.
Mm. Yeah, I know her really well, but I'm trying to think where it was from. Mm. I honestly thought she was in Brushstrokes.
Well, that's that woman I was talking about. She's great. Who thinks the... She has lovely jewels. Mm. That's a foreign name, is it not? Abner,
the voice
is it?
Of the voice of England.
But most recently, the thing I remember her from most recently is the episode of the Royal Family.
Yeah,
she the Christmas one where she's David's mother. She's Tom Courtney and her the mum and dad.
Yeah,
I see.
So and she's very good in it.
Other Christmas television treats then.
Oh God!
Oh
well.
Bloody hell!
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to talk about. I mean,
there's a box. Look at that! Look at that! Can we just take a moment to appreciate that?
This is very much at the apex.
When we were,
but there's also, you know, I also think quite fondly, sort of from the mid '80s onwards. Of, I mean, you and I have sat here almost in tears at a Russ Abbott's
Christmas Madhouse.
I always remember thinking I really liked. They did a version of Season's Greetings. Alan Ayckbourn's play with Michael Cashman and Nicky Henson and all that in it.
Sounds good.
And that was good. And Barbara, what's her name? Barbara Flynn?
Barbara Knox.
No.
Right. If Barbara why is Linda Bellingham?
Anyway, that was good. what else was on at Christmas? Great things that you remember from Christmas time.
Well, obviously I've got a big thing about films that were on at Christmas. Yeah. But I particularly liked when you would stumble across things that you didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
And they would repeat things quite a lot at Christmas to fill in time.
This is true.
But I like to see there's this thing about, you know, ordinary programmes but dressed up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so you're blankety blank, but everybody's
may
dressed as pantomime characters.
With the motherload of the greatest of all the examples, or Star Record Breakers.
Absolutely.
That was like the Woolworths advert. TV programmes, wasn't it? Yeah. It was fantastic.
Well, specialist and Roy Castle used to sing the Woolworth adverts quite a lot of the time.
He did indeed.
I loved the All Star Record Breakers. A great programme.
Fantastic.
Noel Edmonds, yeah.
Not allowed any black people on because Norris was there.
You know, a friend of mine.
Best not to.
A friend of mine.
I'm not seeing the band. I'm just seeing it upsets them.
A friend of mine was filming up because Norris McWhirter used to live up in the islands, the Western Isles.
What kind of name is Norris McWhirter?
Yeah, he lived away up.
Was that because he got upset after his brother being killed?
No, well, this is the thing, you see.
Is he in the Guinness Book of Records having the most stupid name? Is that how he got interested in
Norris McWhirter's autograph when I was
Norris McWhirter. What is his stupid name?
Posset, there you go.
There's the posset. You take Sonny Cole. Anyway, it does look rank, by the way.
Yeah.
It looks nice when he's drinking it, but until you realise it's just hot milk with raw egg in it.
Anyway,
and molasses. Anyway, Norris, this friend of mine was doing filming, and they were up in the up north somewhere. It was in like Westeros, or it was in the islands or something.
Strange.
Yes, absolutely. Fantastic. Well done. So,
is this John Gielgud on the right there? I suppose you want me to wash your dick for you now, little shit.
They're all singing. See, you can't see the subtitles, they're all singing Tomorrow Belongs to Me.
No, they're a wee bit like that.
Anyway, so they were filming up where near Norris McWhirter lived.
All right. Who was?
This friend of mine who was up there. They were just doing some Gaelic telly kind of filming. Mm. And somebody said, you might see Norris McWhirter. Don't mention his brother, who was blown up by the IRA. Because they fought, because Norris and Ross, it was a bomb on their step. Norris and Ross McWhirter formed the Freedom Association.
They did.
Who were actually a very worthy. Interviewed them. It's a very quite interesting now think tank. At the time, they were a bit barking, but in any case, they said don't mention it if he comes out, because he walks around, he goes walking around the place in his wee floppy hat and all that.
Why would you just mention it?
Well, that was the thing, because of course everybody immediately thought, oh, don't mention the brother, don't mention the brother. So anyway, they thought, well, we'll not see him anyway, we're just here for the morning filming. So they're standing filming in this sort of moor, and this figure with the sort of floppy deerstalker hat comes stalking across to them, and they went, fucking Norris McWhirter. And he walked straight up to him and said, hello, I'm Norris McWhirter. My brother was blown up by the IRA.
But don't ask me about the crew of the most fucking legion.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Or the biggest diamonds.
It's funny that about him being in that part of the world, because I think he was there for security. I recently discovered that David Irvine lives up near Inverness. Not that I'm drawing any equivalence
and we make no comment about David Irvine.
He's probably very nice. Well,
I'm not sure about that.
Anyway,
moving on.
Cheers! So what's his other famous thing that he's... Apart from the Guinness Book of Records stuff and all that, there's a particularly famous bit of footage of a sporting event that Norris McWhirter is in. What was it?
Was it the Berlin Olympics?
It was Roger Bannister when the timekeeper and does all this sort of stuff. Yeah,
all this is fantastic with John Horsley.
Yeah, I loved John Horsley.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Another actor who was the same age, like for most of my life.
What was it, Doc? He was the doctor in Reggie Perrin.
He was. Sorry, just to
not like the so-called
to round off our Norris McWhirter coverage. Yeah. I had the great pleasure of watching again recently the episode where there's the child asks him the question about the biggest diamond.
Oh, he gets into an argument with them.
Yeah, and he gets
he gets it wrong.
But what's more interesting is actually the following week's episode.
Yes, he feels the need to correct him.
Where they do a full item where Norris reveals what the actual answer is. It is then revealed that the little boy's answer was quite far out, but Norris was also wrong. But they express this by saying...
We're both wrong.
But actually, Norris McWhirter was 98% correct.
Jesus.
Wow.
Whereas you, little boy...
But I remember...
...were only 14% correct, or words in such terms.
Doesn't it?
Do you know what? One of those is actually meant to be... One of those is actually getting a BBC salary for having some expertise. The other's a seven-year-old boy.
It was a man who was defending your freedoms, Jack.
I remember when that went on. I was watching that with my mum. I remember this... And my mum thinking, look at that cheeky wee bastard saying that. Shouldn't he be saying that to Norris McWhirter?
So
he killed his brother, you know, but don't mention it.
The purple pin. Can we just point out that we've just been in the Bishop's Palace and the Bishop has a butler?
Yeah. Those were the days.
Oh, it's fucking great.
The purple pin.
You don't mind if it's John Horsley?
No.
They also do the thing we were talking last week about the tropes that you would recognise them, but not now.
Yes.
And the other one is the sort of party game, you know, where they all dance the round, holding the cracker, and that's the sort of Christmassy party game you might have played in a scout hut or something. One of the reasons that I find quite redolent, this series, because Seeking's House and the Bishop's Palace or so thing, sort of thing. You'll love this. Were very, very like the first school I was at.
I bet.
Which was this crazy ass.
Was that wizard school?
No, honestly. No, believe me. It was this crazy ass private preparatory school that I don't know where my mum and dad found it.
This is very hard to believe, isn't it?
It's extraordinary. Yeah, prep school.
It's potty mouth.
And it was in the south side of Glasgow, and it was two big old houses joined by a shonky sort of prefab corridor. But the houses are all sort of parquet floors and were just houses, but the rooms were classrooms.
Yeah.
And there was all like this.
Really?
Lots of wooden panelling and a wee bit more institutional than that, but it was incredibly like that. And when we had Christmas, the few Christmas decorations they would suffer to put up were like little paper chains and things.
That's nice.
So it didn't seem a million miles away.
Here's the posset.
Yeah.
I like how he says to, can you make a posset? Well, yeah, it's not really fucking hard.
Just get some treacle, some raw egg. Scrape that in. What's interesting is
you, in fact, went to a rarefied private school.
There was nothing rarefied about it.
Why do we need to see so much screen time given over to the creation of said posset?
The other thing is she pours this milk into that, right?
Yeah, well,
and then she just puts the pot to the side. It's going to be fucking murder cleaning that pot.
Right, hang on a minute.
Whisk.
Right. Frankly, you've revealed yourself. You said that's a raw egg.
No, it's a raw egg that they put the milk onto.
Yeah, so it cooks.
Aye, it's still a fucking raw egg that they put warmed milk onto.
If you put egg and milk together and a sweetening agent, what do you get?
Well, in my case, the shits.
You get custard. That's basically watery custard.
No, it is. No, there's not, because there's no
Remember last week we spoke about the trifle that I make.
It's so long ago.
Well, that involves making a proper custard. And you make a proper custard by heating milk.
You put treacle in it, do you?
No, but I said that's why I deliberately said a sweetening agent.
But a bit of nutmeg in it as well, do you?
Oh, you can in a custard. He's just have a Fisher Price radio beside his bed there.
It's quite a telegraph plot point. You almost feel like
that was literally just run straight out of me.
But you sort of think
you're not in this, Christopher.
You sort of think that at the end of episode 6, Posset would become integral to the conclusion of the story.
That's the point.
Such as they Chekhov's gunned it.
I think it looks nice.
Imagine that before bed, Jack.
That'd be nice on Christmas Eve.
That would be lovely, actually.
Imagine that, you and me in a room like that with our jammies on, single beds.
That sounds great.
The sound of the goose outside in the snow.
Yeah.
The sound of your brother
scratching, trying to get in.
The sound of your brother.
The sound of your brother. The sound of your brother going to take it back up to the castle.
And then you and me drinking our possets and reading our Doctor Who novel.
Meanwhile, I've been in the pantry.
What's
hiking down sausage rolls the size of bolsters?
You'd be fine.
What's the
sound of Patrick in the back room with Ellen the maid?
That's quite scary. That bit. Yeah.
What bit?
That's like that bit from The Exorcist, but about a billion times better.
Oh yeah, this is all quite freaky.
When I was younger,
it's
any
like the extra beastie that
there's that lassie like back, and you never know why.
When I was younger, any drama which featured someone looking directly into camera, I used to find scary.
Yeah, no, I can see that. No idea.
And I used to find the title sequence of Tomorrow People absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, that was quite scary. I used to get frightened by the title sequence of Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World.
Yeah, the old glass skull.
Yeah, but being a small boy was...
Well, you should have been... I mean, they were obviously serving their purpose.
Along the beach.
Pitcher box. Scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Played in an organ, partly made from human bone. Yeah.
And how did Alan say hello?
I met his son once in Manchester. Yeah.
Do you know what? He sounds like the man with the long hair who works in Forbidden Planet.
Hello.
Don't know if you listen to this, but he does do that. That's glass.
It would just be like sharing a room with me. It's not like a big. And we dribble over the.
Here they are, out of the crap head on again.
There you go. Read that paper.
Read in the fucking Glasgow Herald there.
A good day out, the Glasgow Herald. What's that from?
Baron Munchausen.
Well done, yeah. Now, actually, there's like Christmas Eve. Mm. What do you eat for your tea on Christmas Eve? Christmas first.
Well, we're always in a bit of a quandary because we don't want to have a big meal.
Good point.
Because we're going to have, although we eat later on in the day, we like to have a big breakfast. So we kind of like, sometimes we'll have, my dad always likes to have what he calls bitties.
Oh, yeah, that's a picky tea in my house.
Aye, it was just like, you know,
yes,
little,
picky tea in my house.
Well, little canapes and things like that. But sometimes we'll have like maybe cold meats and things like that, or we'll just have soup and a sandwich or something like something. Nothing too heavy, something nice. Because I have actually, by midnight, got to get through a bar of Dairy Milk the size of a solar panel.
I like to serve scrambled eggs.
Lovely.
With smoked salmon. And I like a black salmon.
What, for Christmas Eve tea?
Yeah.
Nah,
no, nice. Not in tea.
Nah. But
smoked salmon.
One person in
the
house can't eat fish, so she has.
No, I think that's when the trade we call jigsaw identification. Yeah.
She has sort of cold meat. But the boy and I have smoked salmon.
the boy and I, yes. The youngest member of the
just
household.
The cat you're talking about. Unlike, oh no, that's a man.
Unlike Jack, I don't like to introduce my family on the record.
Oh look, guns and ropes and shit. Oh. I also put
this is coming up for one of the key.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Key sequences now.
Well, this was one of the ones they go mad for on Blue Peter.
Yeah.
How did they do this?
I was very pleased to see about, oh God, what, 10 years ago or so? No, actually, it was about 7 or 8 years ago when they brought out Hot Fuzz. They did that thing on Channel 4 called Big Night In. And it was one that was Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Simon Pegg
picked this as one of his scenes because he says he loves it at Christmas and he always watched it with his sister before Christmas.
Modern time.
He probably lives in a house like one of these big, huge ones now. Yeah. And Nick Frost basically says to him,
I'd fucking pay to go to one as well.
Nick Frost basically says, and he says, no, I said, I really love it. It's the most Christmassy programme.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Nick Frost is just program. Like a not very funny Chris Diamond, isn't he?
He's a very nice man.
Simon Pegg's got t-shirts of mine.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he bought a couple of t-shirts off my shop.
Isn't a not very funny Chris Diamond just...
Chris Diamond?
No, it's you.
Well, look
at them fucking go!
Fairly racking down there, aren't they?
Oh, you know what I hated?
Not the best CSI,
you know, this reminds me of what I fucking hated when I was a kid. What? Swallows and Amazons.
That
could get fucked.
I actually thought you were going to say Michael Benton's potty time.
Oh, no, there's nothing not to like about Michael Benton. The only man ever called a fraud by the Psychic Times.
That's right, yeah. Fuckers.
Hang on, why was he...
Here's a message for them.
Exactly.
Why was he called a fraud?
Oh,
that's the end of an episode again.
Oh, wow.
Fucking hell.
Are they battered through that?
Jesus,
they're
rattled by, didn't they?
Michael Benton said he had this when he was in the Air Force. He could tell by looking at pilots going to... I think he was in intelligence, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
But he could tell by the sort of ghostly look on the face of certain people, certain pilots and whatever, a bomber crew is going out, that whether they would come back or not. He never said to anybody at the time, but he talked about it later in the Psychic Times, apparently. I seem to recall called him a fraud.
I'm just going to nip away for a second to note down that actress's name, because I'm sure we're going to find out what she was in for next week.
Which actress?
We should have seen it,
Which actress?
I'm so old now, I'll forget
which
it.
Which actress?
Oh, you mean the comedian?
Yeah.
Is it Helen?
Oh, I see. Well, I was transfixed by...
Helen...
I was transfixed by Anne Dyson, thinking, she doesn't look like that, until I've just realised now I'm thinking of Anne Bryson.
Oh, right, okay.
Do you remember Anne Bryson?
What is it?
Can you remember her surname?
Anne Bryson. Who's that?
Anne Bryson was, we were talking about them on a previous podcast, Philadelphia Girls.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So there we go. So I've been trying to spot the Philadelphia girl in this, but it's actually Anne Dyson. Paul Stone.
Can you remember her name?
It's just Helen something.
Helen, you're very right. Helen Fraser,
far.
Now, Rennie Rye.
Great actress.
Die Hard
Helen
too.
Fraser.
Sorry?
Well, that was Rennie Harlan.
Rennie Rye.
We're battering on straight into part four.
Which is part two of
it's the second part.
The second
part
of the six parts which make up the Box of Delights.
Yeah, so a three-part series.
A three-part series. A series in three parts. Fit the third.
There we go.
I have this in the car. And sometimes if I pick Chris up, because we work at the same hospital, I often pick him up and I'll put it on just before Christmas so he can...
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what I like as well, that sort of music? No, you know the... one of the few things that I used to like on Wogan's breakfast programme when they started to go off. At Christmas, he still plays Henry Mancini's sort of medley, orchestral medley of Christmas stuff that was made for the truly dreadful Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment.
Do we have to?
No, hang on. Look, we've not capitalization. Did you spot it?
Yeah, no, that's weird.
We're still to talk about great Christmas programmes, but anyway.
Well, but I mean, this might.
Our shopping list of items is growing.
This might provide us with some clues. Because it's such a huge category that it's difficult to hone down on things. But this is this may well provide us with a salient point. Might not, but I think it will. Which is, when does a Christmas programme become too willfully festive that it becomes counterproductive, which is the problem with Santa Claus the movie, the Salkin from Santa Claus the movie, which should be great, David Huddleston and Dudley Moore and the amazing John Lithgow, which I tried to say in the previous podcast but never got out, is the only person that comes out of it with any credit. Mm-hmm. But then there's also, like, there's Melvin Hayes, Don Estelle's in there, you know, what's not to like? It turns out it's shit.
Mm.
Can I just say, for years I thought Don Estelle was Donna...
Don Estelle.
Don't get me started on Ferranti.
Why do you have a smoking ring?
Why?
I thought she's got a lovely voice.
Lovely boy.
Poor Don Estelle.
Yeah, poor Don Estelle.
Last scene, I think, called Shopping The League Center. Of Gentlemen.
Yeah,
and they're running.
I was going to say in a shopping centre.
No, it was in the League of Gentlemen running the roundabout zoo.
That's right. Yeah, roundabout zoo. Apparently, his memoirs are phenomenally bitter.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, quite sad. Yeah,
Danny Bacon's a huge fan of them.
Lived in the high flats and used to punt his own CDs in shopping centres.
That's right.
Be sold.
You'd want to take him home, but then you'd regret it.
Yeah.
Why green grass?
He stepped on by a big giant.
Last scene hanging on Jack's brother's tree.
Yeah. With just, a goose trying to get out.
Oil, just put this on my tree. Buck, where's my dinner?
It's gone 2 o'clock.
Can I tell you that
I've had nothing but chocolate and a cup of tea all day?
I was once invited. I think you might have been.
That's not become Benny Hill's week.
What's that, sir?
I was once invited to speak at a symposium at Glass School of Art on Christmas.
I did as well.
Yes, that's right. We were there on separate days.
Yeah, but
not?
It was in July, and they served us this massive July. Christmas dinner, and it was about 80 degrees outside.
You have to film it then.
I was there for the Christmas dinner. So I talked about.
I wasn't invited to the symposium.
No, this is a long time ago. I talked about Christmas television. And I played them the title sequence of The Box of Delights.
Well done.
And said that's what you said.
You sat there sweating.
Yeah,
what did you talk about? In fact, here's a subject that we've really crack open.
I'm actually starting to write them down now.
Chris, what did you used to do at Christmas by way of a living?
I used to work in the post office.
Oh.
Oh, do you mean my stint as a department store Santa Claus?
Yes, indeed. And is that what you spoke about in the Christmas symposium?
Yeah, it was because there were various different people. There was a guy, remember, there was a guy from Canada who was very good, who talked about waste.
Right.
The amount of waste that was generated at Christmas. Mm-hmm. There was your man from the art school with the waistcoat and the watch who talked about your pal.
Nicholas Oddy.
No.
Damien Sutton.
Yeah.
Yes.
Splendid. I don't think
this has just become a new two talk.
I don't think the Audi was there.
He was there on the day that I was there.
Anyway, we sort of sat around chatting. It was all very interesting. I don't know what came of it, but anyway, we sat around and we chatted, and then I was in Bellahouse Park, just sitting around the park. It was in the house for that one, and we went back to the art school, and fuck off, poetry boy. And we had this huge Christmas dinner because hardly anybody turned up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it literally was the middle of July, and it was like 80 odd degrees outside. It was fucking hellish.
And
still ate it, right enough.
And how hellish was it being?
Someone just said, "Can you get on to the important bit in this program?" Look at that, that's nice.
It was,
I want Chris to give me some insight on actually.
It was very hellish. But
why was it hellish?
I suppose to sort of root it in what we're meant to be talking about,
mm-hmm.
I did it for now 10 years, and the points of reference, even within those 10 years for kids of a certain age, were varied, you know, massively. Because the first year I did was 99.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you would have... some of the stuff we've talked about is the tropes that would mm-hmm. that we recognised.
Yep.
I think some of them would still have been around, but mm-hmm. I'd be amazed if any of them were still around mm-hmm. by the time that I'd finished and I'd beaten it all out of them.
And you're subject of a BBC Scotland
documentary. Yeah.
What was it called? Was I'm Santa Days. Claus, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
Not a great name. Not a great name.
There were other suggestions.
Was there?
Was it shown at Christmas time?
Yes.
What was the best suggestion?
I'm in the Christmas Radio Times. Yeah. I was in the Christmas Radio Times.
Cool. Actually, so am I. But just as a producer credit on something, a programme that was shown on New Year's Day.
Actually, so am I. I had a credit. I had a credit for two programmes on Christmas Day.
We're all in the Christmas Radio Times.
Except my listing said
starring Chris
Santa Claus, Chris Diamond.
Starring Chris Diamond. That's the story of our life, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're just ballast.
We are the madhouse to the good.
It went out Christmas 2008.
That is really weird. That's the one I was in.
Oh!
Because the programme I'm
Well, I've still got it up there.
Well, we'll have a look at it later. Oh. For next week's broadcast.
Well, will we all be back together?
I hope so. Yeah, I plan to.
So long away.
I know it's getting quite close to Christmas.
Who knows what could happen next week?
Oh, look.
This is the scene I was referring to about how good she is in this.
She's great. Do we know who she is?
No, I mean Sylvia Pouncer.
I thought I meant the kid, because she's good too.
Yes. No, she's really good. Yeah. She's about the best of them, excusing Kay Arca's blushes.
Mm. And none of these graduated onto EastEnders or anything like that?
I don't think so.
It's interesting.
Well, like I say, I'm not sure what happened to David.
Well, one of the good things is that although he is the main character, quite a lot of these sort of books do have quite good sort of female young characters in it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Tomboyish.
Strong ladies.
Yeah, generally
speaking. As they like to
on
be
my
called.
List. Yes. That's a callback. On my list here, we have great Christmas programmes. Now, actually,
we still haven't
one that you brought up was the League of Gentlemen Christmas Special.
Oh, what a programme.
Which is fantastic.
Very good. Yeah.
One of the most extraordinary things that's ever been made. It's so good.
It is very good. But it's also, thank you, possibly the last thing they did. I'm trying to think.
Because the season 3 wasn't very good, was it?
And
eventually.
I like the film.
League of Gentlemen's Apocalypse.
Yeah, I think it's great.
So I think it's based on the premise of, we can't come up with an idea for a film. That's what the film's about.
I thought the
That's
film was
clever,
great.
Isn't it? Well, no, it's not actually.
It's got David Warner as Dr. P in it.
I've never
read it. Terrible film.
I've never seen it. But I'd probably quite enjoy it if I saw it. But the thing is,
it begins with a giraffe spunking over some old biddies.
How do you like it? The problem is the last series of League of Gentlemen wasn't a comedy.
No, it was too dark.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And
really...
also, that world shouldn't have Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen in it
because it's
supposed to be a separate world.
It can have Chubby Brown in it though.
Yeah,
that works.
It's a fucking pleasure.
But the Christmas. Yeah. I haven't watched the Christmas special in a few years.
Actually. Oh, it's immense.
It's great. I might have to bring that over one night for a wee
prawn
taste. Actually, that's quite a good one. That may turn up at some point in the future.
And surprisingly, might as well say it is surprising. Lisa Tarbuck is brilliant.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
Which is very unusual.
Do you not like Lisa Tarbuck?
Not especially.
She's a good contestant when Lisa Draw, but not a good presenter.
Yes, that's true.
This is not Bob Mills, is she?
That's my
assessment. We'll have Bob Mills.
Waistcoat Wednesday.
We'll have Bob Mills. What do you think Bob Mills would like to eat?
Anything.
No, come on. What do you think his food would be?
Persian chilabalma.
Actually, we should have a shout out to one of our regular listeners. Who knew where Persian
Chilabalma
came
which
from.
Is more than you two did.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't the faintest idea. I couldn't even work out what you were saying.
I couldn't even
work out what King Kumalakano
was. At the moment, we're drinking
Persian Chilabalma.
Bar's finest, but I think for next week, could you get in some King Kumalakano?
King Kumalakano?
Yeah.
I'll go on my second-hand bike that I love so much after I've climbed out of my roll-top airing.
And I love, because I showed you that, didn't I, afterwards?
You did, yeah.
What did you think of it?
Windows. It's reprehensible.
It's something I'll never unsee.
It's not even a nice coffee.
I felt like policemen who must work in the Vice Squad felt
you
after
can see it on YouTube. And one thing to point out that someone had pointed out to me is you seem to see the reverse shot over her shoulder when she's drinking a Kinky Medicano. It's like fucking that awful lemon tea or something.
Melobots. Oh, you mean like
it's
Lyft?
Watery. Yeah, it's horrible. It's clearly not coffee.
Well, maybe that's
what, now that it's King Kamilikano.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, maybe that's what King Kamilikano is. That's like
Presidential Balibella.
Well, we don't know what Presidential Balibella was.
We should ask Donovan.
Okay, I don't know. You know who else we could ask? Camilla Batmangelo.
If you can track her down.
You can track her down.
I'm going to see her from a not hard to miss, right?
No, that's true. The League of Gentlemen. Oh, look at that house. Yeah, the League of Gentlemen. Swift again.
Chester's is a great place as well when they go to Chester's College over the Chester Hills.
No, I think that's the thing that was filmed at some school somewhere, actually.
Oh, yeah, well, that would make sense.
Yeah. Oh, look at them. There's a couple of boys holding hands. That's flying fine. Out in the air.
And they're plus fours.
And they're funny wee suits.
Oh, that's
nice. So what would happen if they let go of each other there?
They would both. Yeah, that's true.
Well, their hearts would break before
they
hit the ground.
It's not very snowy there at that stage.
No, it's a
wee bit. These middle episodes are a wee bit
of Spielbergian continuity there.
Well, of course, that poem that we spoke about last week, one of the great things about it is that it's also about the economy of trade, which is another thing that I'm genuinely obsessed with.
Always very interested in the economy of films. So, programmes at Christmas.
Yeah, other great programmes. Oh, hello.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That's all.
Something's happened on the tape.
It's all right, don't worry about it. You just have to... I mean, we're barely talking about it as it is.
But right.
Right, so we've just got back to Kay waking up Peter. Oh, no, we've gone back.
Yeah.
It hardly matters. Right, they're just leaving the house again. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only actually making a sideways reference to the programme.
If we could work out how far through the episode we are, we can just talk to the end.
Well, actually, we'll just...
they're flying
signal
again.
Signal when we get to the point. And then you have an opportunity to...
Well, it might stop again.
Edit it, yes. Yeah. Again.
What happened in case you haven't guessed...
It's like that most recent episode of Doctor Who, isn't it?
So
it just keeps looping round.
Yeah, the DVD stopped, so we're just trying to sort of work around that now. They've just flown over the non-Christmassy countryside again.
So stopped again.
Yep.
Right. Now
golly, I see.
And then they're going to try and run off. And that's when we'll find out whether it's going to happen again.
I never even know. See, that's the great good thing about watching sometimes things with subtitles. You notice, I never noticed them ever mentioned in a place called Hope Under Chester.
No, I know.
Yeah. Let's see if we can survive this as they go running. Oh, the tension.
Look at track.
Go on, run.
It's fine, it's working. Right, so if you can just come back to when they ran off again, then all as well.
There we go. He gets a wee bit snotty at this point about, you know, how Peter doesn't understand the ways of the country. Because we'd have seen some vermin boards or animals being tortured to death or ripped to pieces by dogs.
Enormous fat woman called... What's her name again? Fucking...
Camilla Batmanchin.
The other one. Jennifer. They have two fat ladies.
Jennifer, the other one.
She's
Clarice Addiction, right?
Fucking way the countryside.
You fucking hammered that one home, didn't you?
I did, yeah. You know the one I mean.
Remember that series she made?
Camilla
and the Countryman?
Yeah, with Johnny Scott.
Yeah, it just seemed to be... Oh, do you remember that great...
I was at a wedding once that he was at.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Remember that great series that there used to be where people who'd never had dinner parties... a chef would come and help them at their house.
Yeah.
And there was an episode, and various different chefs, you know, would come and get exasperated because they didn't know how to cook. There was a fantastic one where Clarissa Dixon Wright came to the house of a woman who was a vegetarian, but her guests weren't. Uh-huh. And she made her pluck and draw a pheasant.
Wow.
Go on! Go on! Get your arm right up!
I loved the two fat ladies, they were great.
Except they made one very bad Christmas special.
Except, doesn't he?
No, but they did one very bad Christmas special. You know that? The one that went to Jamaica.
Oh, yeah.
See, don't check me and then realise.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that like a couple of years ago. There was, you know, you turn on the telly, it's like, oh, here's Rick Stein's Christmas programme. You think, oh, fuck, for nothing else.
Yeah.
I watched that and he's like, hello, here I am, and
I'm in Thailand.
Oh,
that,
fuck off.
Yeah.
Are you in Thailand? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you went to Australia for that sort of thing.
But the two
no,
fat ladies
fuck off,
did two Christmas programmes. One which was in a boys' school.
Yeah, that was good.
Which
that
was
one,
great
yeah.
when they made the Christmas pudding ice cream bomb.
That's right, that was nice.
And then there was, but then they went to fucking Barbados. They're roasting a pig.
What kind of state of those two in Barbados? Fucking hell.
I smell a bit like John Pertwee.
This chat's very erudite,
isn't it?
Erudite?
Lot of
that's a kind of glue, isn't it? Is that Derek Jameson callback there? He is dead, isn't he? He is dead.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Do they mean us?
That's what he sued somebody for, remember?
Me? For what?
When Derek Jameson sued somebody.
For what?
Somebody said that he probably thought that erudite was a type of glue, and he sued them, and he won, but he had to pay his own costs, and it ruined him.
Fuck you, Jameson. Yeah, monstrous old.
Do they mean that? Yeah, they do.
Sure, they do. This place is great. This castle, isn't it?
Remember the People Show.
Yeah,
yeah.
He started out. It's basically just a one show.
Mm. Yeah, wasn't it made in Glasgow? Was that his Radio 2 show? Was done in Glasgow?
I don't think it
was
made.
Come up for it.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah. Fuck's sake! Why were they on the telly?
His fat face. What's his name?
Chubby Face Joe.
That's the man.
Chubby Face Joe.
Morbidly Obese Joe.
Diabetic type 2 diabetic Joe. Whoa!
A plane that's a car.
Right. Like a plane that's a car that just stops in mid-air. Like everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. So best Christmas present when you were a nipper?
Oh, bloody hell. You're asking very sweeping questions.
I mean, there was lots of nice Christmas presents. I always had a nice Christmas. I had very generous, lovely parents, you know.
Mm-hmm. Fucking VHS recorder.
Well, that wasn't a Christmas present.
I was just an everyday. Addition to the household.
If you weren't spending all your time fucking chasing giants and geese in your mythical fucking Hawk the Slayer land that you grew up in, you might have been able to fucking and buy a fucking VHS like my dad did, because he was a hard worker.
That's a very low slung cleavage Robert Stevens got there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So my best Christmas present when I was young was a copy of Doctor Who Celebration by Peter Haining.
Jesus Christ.
Phenomenal book. I read that Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Fantastic book. And then he did Doctor Who Keeps Time by Peter Haining. That's a good book.
How you under the kitchen table?
The Doctor Who Files by Peter Haining. Bit of a retread of Doctor Who Celebration.
Yeah, you like Doctor Who together.
What did you say your best present was?
I can't really pick one.
I couldn't say the best present. My great gran once got me it's like sort of plastic racing car that had a flywheel in it, you know, you would wind up and it would go, and I fucking loved that, and it drove my parents up at the wall.
I had the Evel Knievel that you did that with.
Oh, I never had one of them. Yeah, one of the kids down the street had one of them. It just fired out the end, didn't it? That's all it wasn't it?
I got to burn arrow like a little toy.
Oh no,
burn
I never had the
sucky
jet
bits.
Thing. I just had the wee one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It just sort of went boing.
Yeah,
and that little, you know, burn arrow with a little
sucker in the end of it.
They still make those.
Yeah, of course they do. I remember one Christmas.
I think you have to go to adult shops now to get them.
There was one Christmas in 1984 where I met this guy.
There was only one Christmas in 1984.
It
was the Christmas this was on.
It being
the Box of Delights. That's what we're watching.
Well, what happened was I was getting off a train and I met this old guy. He gave me this amazing box.
Next minute, you were in the vaults.
I was. And I would go swift.
Yes. And he says, "Going to rummage through my pocket."
He
did. Like, oh.
He said, "If you hold it on this side, it goes small. And if you hold it on this side,
and make it go swift."
Yeah.
There
and
you
I
go.
Said, I said, "Why are you wearing that funny clown costume with that funny wig on?" And he said, "Come up to my hotel room." Somewhere.
And then you phoned the police, and nobody believed you.
Nobody believed me.
That was the 80s.
Can I speak to Chief Inspector Strange? But he goes, "Listen to me, sonny lad."
Yep. Anyway.
So, I don't know. I always had nice presents. I can't complain.
No.
Probably my Millennium Falcon. I liked my Millennium Falcon.
That's a good present.
I liked my X-Wing fighter.
Mm-hmm. Lots of Star Wars merch then.
Yeah, good stuff. Books of ghost stories and things like that.
Got an AT-AT one Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I always wanted one of those. I never got
one. I'm going to get it as a present specifically.
But you stole it then?
And various different relatives. We'll give you like a fiver or something.
Yeah, sure. It's £30 the AT-AT one.
£25 it was
right?
When I got it. However, what it did mean, nostalgia fans, is that I got to go to the single greatest shop in the universe.
Mm-hmm. I know what that will be.
John Menzies.
John Menzies was great.
John Menzies in specifically in Argyle Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A place where you could get stationery and Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
And a packet of fags. All under the one roof.
Yeah, that was great.
All in the one
in
ticket.
Edinburgh, it was on Princes Street and it was fucking enormous.
Yeah, it was a great one.
Great shop.
Yeah. It was so big, the John Menzies in Argyle Street, that it's now two giant shop units.
Is that right,
huh? Yeah. Mm. Anyway, the toys were downstairs. Mm. And I went Boxing Day. Might have been the day after Boxing Day, because I don't think Sting's opened in Boxing Day then. But anyway, it was fucking heaving. Mm-hmm. And I had my 25 quid, and so I think one bit of it was a fiver voucher. Because that was the standard present you got then, sure, for friends, a £5 John's Menzies voucher. Yeah. Anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to get some fags this Christmas. Yeah. I said,
porn.
I got the ad. I can't remember mum saying, is that what you want? Because that's all the money you've spent in everything. I'm like, yeah, of course that's what I want.
Why would you not want that?
And I took the money and I had a little die cast security van toy.
Cool. Yeah.
And it had a wee safe on the back.
Oh,
door.
I remember those. Nice one.
Like a G4 thing. And I had the money in it, and it was only when I got to the front counter and just tried to try and remember what the code was. Well, there was like a queue, like a fucking funeral scene for Gandhi behind me.
Oh, I remember you wee bastard.
people queuing at the shop in Sucky Hall Street trying again. Anyway, I managed to get it out, and the woman who was serving just went, oh, that's nice.
That's quite hurry up.
One year we got the Ghostbusters computer game for Celtic Spectrum.
Oh yeah,
which was notable because it had digitized.
Probably 1984. Actually,
yeah, it had digitized. Came out. It had digitized speech in it.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what they said in it? Which apparently was if you had it on the Don't Commodore 64, them. He slimed me. But on the Celtic Spectrum, it just sounded like very quietly.
Played that once, that Ghostbusters game.
It was really Don't boring. Trust the streams.
There's nothing you couldn't do it. It just there was a sort of
you're going up and down. You're just like a street, you and it was to avoid like them. And then
the keymaster had to meet the gatekeeper, yes, and then you just right. drove round, and then
yeah,
you trapped
it was,
a ghost.
It was the same Christmas as us. It was 1984.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means I went to see it that Christmas and didn't sleep for two nights.
Wow. Really? And
fucking terrified.
Was Santa Claus a movie or 1984?
85.
Oh,
sure? I saw that in the pictures twice.
Jesus, I've never seen it.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, we went to see Ghostbusters.
That's going to be a recurring theme. It's
that's
so bad.
That's when I was writing my series of poems about winter at Reykjavik University.
First volume.
Yeah.
Age 4. All destroyed in the Blitz.
All called Uda. It's called Uda.
It's William Maria Jr. First translation of Ubu Roy.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like the Ghostbusters ZX Spectrum game again.
See, all this is great when he's all wee. And oh, there's a fantastic shot where he goes skating up.
I love this.
It's a wee model.
Too, yeah. Yeah, I like a wee model into it like that. It's good.
This is great. Go swift again, fly.
Yeah, in brackets.
But yeah, we went to see.
We will be going swift at approximately 20,000 feet.
Here we go. Oh no!
That would break your leg, wouldn't it? That would
if you can't fucking sink to that, by the way, I don't know what you're...
That's my big brother.
he's not used the box at that point.
yet to use the box.
Here we go.
Chesters.
Quite like that shadow.
Oh, I love this. This is one of my. This is almost my favourite shot in this. Hey! Fucking
that is brilliant, isn't it?
His office is fantastic
Abner's
as well.
Singing as well.
Singing is Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah.
A pair of rubies. A bar of pum pum.
I have an office like that at home.
That's where it works like.
And I dress like that as well when I walk about.
So, in Ascending Order.
I'd have been a very, very happy deacon in the Church of England, you know.
Well, the I didn't get frightened.
That's very impressive you didn't make a deacon joke.
Oh, well,
there.
You know. That's a really, really obvious one. Blue Peter callback! I get terrified by Ghostbusters, but not by the ghosts. It's the bit where Egon's talking about Yvonne Shandor. And he says he performed a lot of unnecessary surgery. Oh, it fucking kept me off.
I thought he was going to say, like, you're upset by Egon. I thought he was like,
no, it was
like an NCC night or something.
That really,
I don't want to look at the Jews.
It really freaked me out.
Chris, in ascending order,
uh-huh.
Christmas chocolate boxes.
Oh.
So rank them. So hang on. So celebrations. Hang on, I'll give you the full.
Oh, you're giving me them?
No, I'm going to give you them. Then you
He's
need to repeat them in ascending
never
order.
Coming on
to right, okay.
Hang on. So we'll have celebrations, roses, Quality Street. So the worst of those is
celebrations.
Yeah.
Okay. And then next,
roses.
Yeah.
Bang. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I wrote a big article Simple once butter. For Cream Up about chocolate boxes you give people at Christmas.
You know what I like getting at Christmas as well. Mm-hmm. If I do my big shop at Morrison's. I'm more than happy to take any.
More than happy to take any sort of endorsement.
You see the sort of like 1 or 2 pound boxes of liqueurs, chocolates.
Elizabeth Shaw, would you?
She's
fucked off with them all.
We bit of brandy shoots down your gob.
I don't like liqueur chocolates.
Oh, I love a liqueur chocolate.
I think I had one when I was a kid and it freaked me out.
No, you know what? I had one as a kid because my granny liked them. A chocolate ginger.
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking
a liquid
horrible.
In a solid.
I hate those.
Body. A liquid in a solid.
I hate those Lindor things with a squishy.
Oh, I love them.
No, I don't like them at all. Oh, they don't taste of chocolate, they just taste of milk.
And Craig, if I can.
Not interested. We'll still take endorsements off.
Craig, if I can take you back to Edinburgh High Street, you were talking about a little bit earlier on about shops.
Yeah.
So, can you clarify the ongoing debate around burger franchises in Edinburgh in the
1980s? Yeah, I've accepted, I think, that it was, in fact, a Wimpy.
Okay.
At the corner of Castle Street and Princess Street.
Well, it can't have been the Wimpy that made you sick then. It must have been
the roundabout. Yeah, absolutely.
Because Wimpies are great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I liked it. It was the first time I ever had one.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant. It was going straight onto the roundabout afterwards and being spun around really quickly by the mummies.
Having had a big bender.
Exactly. For the first time.
And not the last.
And then a brown derby.
It was a big night for me. I accept. I can't remember which of our army of listeners it was
there's a debate in the pages of Cream Pie.
But it would have been Wimpy on the corner of Castle Street. So I thank you for
the clarification.
That's good. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I do remember the McDonald's opening now, which is about 8 to 8. I've been about 50 years.
There must have been a bit of time they opened in Glasgow.
You think I'm being slippery?
No, I said sloppy.
Sloppy.
Oh, sorry.
Chocolate box is a particular fixation of mine. Being a big fan.
You amaze me.
Yeah, hard to believe, because I take my lead from my great gran on this, who was a great expert in the ranking of chocolate boxes. And she would judge people depending on what chocolates they gave her.
Fair play.
So, you know, people at the top of the tree, you would give, somebody would give you All Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly a good one. Black Magic was another good one.
Light up, see the face you
love.
Explode with IRA bomb. You didn't sing that.
You might have sang that to England, mate.
In your English public school.
It's not the thing you sang at a sort of Scottish school, believe you me.
Absolutely not, because somebody's uncle was in them, so you must be very careful.
You just hear somebody in the back going, my brother was killed by IRA. And then somebody's saying, my dad killed his brother. And then, so, All Gold, right up there. Milk Tray, wee bit down the line. Wee bit down the line, but still very acceptable, especially the big picture box, the big pound box. Then you got into really shaky territory. People gave you boxes of Neapolitans.
Yeah.
Really fucking weird.
Where was your Black Magic coming out of?
Black Magic's up there with All Gold.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah, but because also, in those days, there wasn't a lot of dark chocolate about. It was quite rare.
There were the crazy-ass Terry's Spartan.
I don't remember
which were hard-centred dark chocolates, but they were for men.
Right, yeah.
But if you came to my grand's, to my great grand's house with a box of Dairy Box, she'd shut the door in your face.
That's quite right too. That was one with the sort of white box, wasn't it?
They're just common as muck.
Yeah.
But you could go too far in the other direction because
These Ramon lolly.
You know the
because that's the end of this week.
Yep, you used to get those boxes of Terry's chocolates that came in a sort of looked like a treasure box, like a treasure chest.
Yeah.
But they were too wanky.
Yeah.
You keep your knitting in one of them. My gran used to keep her knitting in one. I don't think she had the chocolates. I think she gave them a next door's dog.
And you'd get those Sheila, sort of huge boxes that had like a sort of big, like a flower on the front of them, or padded on the inside. Remember that?
Yeah,
they
I used to love
vulgar then.
You know when you get the big it's box of dairy milk, not dairy milk, the big box of milk tray.
Mm.
It used to have that paper in it, and it looked sort of brassy gold colour. Mm-hmm. And you would peel it back, and it would sort of crinkle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I loved that.
Did you?
And
the smell of a box of chocolates was great, delicious. Wasn't it? Yeah. Remember, like, your mum would have, like, two or three boxes of chocolates at Christmas, and you'd be dying for her to crack them open.
Aye. Because in those days, you just would just go around them.
Oh, aye. And you see, like, you've had three now.
Did you just used to sit and stare at them? I just used to sit and stare.
No, I eat them.
With my mouth open. No, wait till
she opened.
All right.
Just sit and stare at them.
No, I eat
mouth open.
Did your brother get that one first?
Because you could. Because that was one of the things that.
Right, that's the wolf coming up again. Yeah. Producer Paul Stone.
So we're going
to
pause.
Say goodbye for a week.
We're saying goodbye.
So
for
we'll need to pick up these threads for the
I wanted to make clear one of the ways that Johnny Spate very willfully made. Dandy Nichols in Till Death Us Do Part common was that she sat and ate boxes of chocolates herself.
Right.
It's one of the things that they did. And a pint of milk on the table.
When you join us in a week, Chris will still be talking about chocolate.
Yes, exactly.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
See you next week.
The wolves are running.
Bye.